This is you. And you are broken. You, and you are broken. Every single one of us in this room, even me. And our sin, and the things that people have done to us, and the things that we have said to people, is what breaks us. Those swear words that you said to your family, those times that you screamed at your siblings, that time you judged someone, that broke you. And every time I do that, it leaves me feeling disgusting. That time that someone has said something mean to me, done something that I thought was irrational and uncalled for, makes me feel alone and unworthy. And that time that I said something mean to someone else and it broke them, makes me feel like trash. We're all broken. We're all in a trash can. We've got jagged edges. And every time we mess up, every time someone does something to us, every time we do something to someone else, it breaks us even more. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "Therefore, we have this treasure in fragile jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." But how am I supposed to hang on to my treasure when my jar is broken and it's got jagged edges and it's ugly? How does that work? And I try to fix myself. Try to have it all together. I try to be the best athlete, have the most friends, have the best grades, do the best stuff. And it leaves me feeling empty and on autopilot. King David was a messed up sinner. He's a liar, murderer, and an adulterer. And one day, as he's out on his back porch, saw a naked lady in her backyard, and she was hot. And he gave in to that temptation, and things progressed as they do. And she ended up pregnant. And then David said, "Oh no, I've messed up. I've just broken her, and I've broken myself. I better fix it." So he calls home Uriah and says, "Dude, go home to your wife. Have some fun. Get drunk." But Uriah wouldn't do it. He said, "When my friends and my comrades are out fighting, how can I go home and sleep with my wife?" So David sent a letter to Joab, said, "Send Uriah to the very front lines of the army, of the battle, and draw back so that he is struck down and destroyed." And David thought he'd fixed it. But God knew what he'd done, and God sent someone to say, "David, you messed up." My point is this. Every time David messed up, every time he hurt someone else, every time he broke himself, he was quick to say, "God, I've messed up. Pick me up. Put me back together. I can't do it on my own." And that is why, guys, that is why God was able to use David. And God did great things through David. Set up the kingdom, the chosen kingdom. And Jesus is called the Son of David. Every time David said, messed up, he said, "God, create in me a clean heart. Give me pure hands and wash me so that I will be whiter than snow." And God picked him up, glued him back together, and said, "There you go." And guys, God has a lot of experience putting people back together, and he longs to do it to you. And right now, he's doing it to me. But every time I mess up, it's like taking a hammer and smashing that jar that God is in the process of putting back together. Isaiah 53 says, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us. This is talking about Jesus. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Guys, Jesus knows what it feels like to be alone and disgusting. He knows what it feels like when you're beating your head against the wall and your friends don't know how to help you. In fact, they fall asleep. He knows what it's like. He's been there. If you read further, it says, he was crushed for our iniquities. He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. He was pierced for that time that we messed up. That time on the internet, alone at home, no one was watching. That pierced him. That time that we judged someone else and said, they're not good enough. That crushed him. Each one of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Guys, he knows what it feels like, and he wants to put you back together. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. Guys, after you suffer, after you're feeling alone and disgusting, you will see the light of life and you will be satisfied. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fun. It's going to suck. And we're going to be hard-pressed on every side, but we're not going to be crushed. We're going to be perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. And struck down, but not destroyed. You guys, if you believe that God is real, and that he loves you, and that he's in control, then it's logical to say that everything that happens to you, he's in control of, and it's going to work out for the good. James 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Guys, if we persevere through that hard time, through that time when we think it can't get any worse and that nothing good can come out of this, we're going to be satisfied. And God's going to pick us up, and he's going to glue us back together. And it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be ugly. And it's going to leave scars. And it's going to leave holes. But you can rest assured that those holes and those cracks and those stains, it's God's plan for you. And he can work through that. Without these holes and cracks, the light of light would have shone through differently had we not been through those hard times and those troubles. So guys, We are all messed up, and that's okay, because God works best through brokenness.